You know, sometimes it's amazing to me how the Lord works when Brother Clint was praying there when I was anointed. He talked about we were a people of privilege. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Divine privilege. You know, in the corporate world, they have people that lead companies, large companies. They call them executives. And you've all heard the word, the term executive privilege. The higher ups, they have special privileges that regular workers for that company, they don't have. The higher ups, whenever they travel, they sometimes have their own personal jets. They eat probably more steak than other people might, or whatever kind of expensive food that they want to have. They're given a pittance of money to be able to supply their needs whenever, whatever they do, wherever they go. Some are supplied with cars. Some are given opportunity to have real nice, expensive homes. But they have a privilege. Because they're an executive. Because they're one of the people that makes, they make the decisions for the country, company. They're the ones that stand in the gap for the rest of the people. It's their responsibility that if the company survives, they're going to have to make good decisions. And they're going to have to work to that end. Well, I want us to look at a scripture that kind of give me this thought this morning. It's found in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. And as I said, I'd like to for us to consider divine privilege and not only the privilege that we have, but the responsibility that goes with it. It says in 1 Peter 2 and 4, "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion its chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, chosen by God, folks, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I'm thankful this morning that the universal gospel that Jesus Christ brought into the world, teaching mankind, was for each and every one of us. It was to the Jews, it was to the Greek, it's to the Gentile, you and I this morning. And we have a divine privilege in Christ today. He said, lively stones, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wonder as I sit around sometimes and meditate or lay in my bed and the early hours of the morning and meditate, do I really understand? Do I really appreciate what a blessing it is to be a child of God? to be one that God knows that's called, and says many are called, but few are chosen. And he's talking here about being chosen of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came here to this world to bring you and I to the Father, to show us the Father. He's the one that bridged the gap for you and I between him and the Father. And I'm thankful for that today. He's done so much for me, and I'm sure that he's done so much for you. God, it says we are chosen of God and precious. We're important to him, aren't we? We're important to the Lord. And folks, when we know that he has espoused special favor and special privileges upon you and I, it ought to bring a great fear, a great responsibility, a great duty. It ought to put that on our hearts and upon our shoulders to realize, folks, that we must do something in return for what God has done for us. Chosen of God, precious. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. In other words, we're a spiritual house. It means we're infused. We've been infused by the Holy Spirit. God's given us every blessing that he has to give to mankind here on this earth. Until we leave this old world and enter into the glory world, folks, he's given us everything we need right here. Everything to sustain us, everything to keep us. He's given us some executive privileges. You ever had someone say you think you're better than everyone else when you tell them that you live free from sin? Well, folks, I want to tell you, God says we're elect. We're chosen of God. We're his people today. And it is a privilege to know him as our Lord and our Savior. It is a privilege to have his Spirit dwelling within our hearts. It's a privilege to know him that way. He's our friend, our comforter, our guide, our healer. He's everything that we need as we go through this life. And he tells us who we are too. We're a chosen generation. You know, we can't choose who is our relatives. Our relatives are put in our family. God put them there. We can't choose them. But we can choose our friends, can't we? We can choose a lot of other things in this world. But God said, his people, you that are lively stones, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What a blessing. What a blessing to know that God puts his favor upon you and I this morning, all because we were willing to humble our hearts and bow our knees before him and accept his Son as our Lord and our Savior and let Jesus come into our heart and life. Folks, that's wonderful to me this morning. It's a wonderful blessing to know that God loves us that way. You and I are blessed to have a unique relationship with God. The world doesn't understand these things this morning. What I'm saying here doesn't really mean a whole lot to a lot of people that are out in the world. But those of you that know him, those of you that have experienced his blessings, experienced his love and his grace in your heart and life, folks, it is a blessed thing. It's a unique situation. It's a unique relationship. It's a wonderful blessing to know him in such a personal way. And he can be so personal to us. Oh, you talk to so many people. You talk to some that are going through hard and difficult places. Sometimes I wonder, I know that some are going through harder places than I feel like I've ever been. I don't know what I have to face yet or deal with. But folks, I know there's some people out there that are really depending and leaning upon the Lord. And I'm so glad that we can do that. We have that privilege. We have a divine privilege. It's greater than any executive privilege. It's a divine privilege. It's a privilege given to us by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that today. I want to read that again. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. We're to be holy people, aren't we? We're to be holy people, godly people. Doesn't matter how the world changes. It doesn't matter how everybody else is viewing things today. We need to keep a good view of a holy and a righteous and a godly church right here in this present world. A holy and a righteous and a godly life. Every one of us need to accomplish that. We need to pursue that right here in this life. A peculiar people. Well, it doesn't mean that people just look at us and think we're strange. But folks, we're peculiar because of the relationship that we have with Him. We're peculiar because we understand. We seek Him for wisdom. We seek Him for understanding. We seek Him for guidance and direction. I can't speak for the rest of you folks, but I tell you so many times, so much do I ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance and direction in this life. We're faced with, and we deal with so many things, but I'm glad this morning to know that God has put His blessings. He's put His approval upon His people. We're special to Him. There's a lot of people in the world, and He wishes them to be saved. It's not His will that any should be lost. But folks, His people are special to Him. And that makes me feel special to know that I'm special to God. I believe heaven this morning is calling for a people that is free from this world. He's calling for a people that have consecrated themselves to God and separated themselves from this old world, folks. Folks, we have something today that's worth shouting about. We have something that's worth praising the Lord about. We have something that all the gold and the silver and the platinum and everything in this world cannot buy. But we get it, we purchase it through the saving grace of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for that today. I had someone tell me one time when they wasn't happy, maybe nobody else is happy. I said, I got news for you this morning. I got news for you. I'm happy whether you're happy or not, because my happiness depends on God. My happiness depends on my relationship with God. Folks, you can't come in between me and my relationship with God unless I let you do that. Unless I allow you to do that. Folks, hold on to this relationship that you have with God. We have some privileges with Him today. But as I said before, with this privilege comes a twofold responsibility. Sacrifice. And you may think that this doesn't fit, but intercessory prayer. Folks, if there ever was a time when we need to be entering in and staying in the presence of God in intercessory prayer for the needs of souls, for your needs, for my needs, for our needs, folks, for the church today, for the ministry, the work of the Lord in general, we need to be making intercessory prayer. We have a twofold responsibility. Our sacrifice that we give to the Lord. I'd like to refresh our minds. It's read a lot, but I want to read Romans 12:1. Remember now, you can say it this way, we're privileged characters. We're privileged characters. It doesn't have anything to do with white supremacy. It doesn't have anything to do with ethnic groups, where you were born, what color. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with being born again into the kingdom of God. And we have a blessed privilege. And he says here in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to us, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's just something we're required to do before God. He has done so much for us. Why would we hold back? Why would we want to try to hold anything from God when He has done so much for us? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Isn't that what Peter said He called us to? This chosen generation, folks, we're a whole peculiar people, a holy nation before God. But you and I have to do our little part too. We got to present ourselves to God. Give ourselves to Him. Forsake this old world and follow Jesus. And He said, be not conformed to this world. but be ye transformed. You know, times are a-changing. Every one of us know that. Things are changing pretty quick out there in our world today. We can't do anything about change, folks. We're just going to have to deal with it with the help and the grace of God. But he didn't say to be changed. He said be transformed. To be transformed. In other words, that's something that I can do. It's something that I have control over. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not saying that I believe in Jesus and I've received him into my heart and life and go on doing the same old things that I always did before. Don't manifest the love of God in my heart. Don't manifest his spirit in my life. Don't manifest the graces that he has given to me as a peculiar people, as a chosen generation, as a privileged soul, folks. We are to live and rise above those kind of things. We're to live and rise above them. The renewing of your mind. Don't do the things that I used to do. Don't think the things that I used to think. Oh, I know the devil's going to come along and present thoughts. Sometimes you say, well, where did that come from? The devil's always going to do his little thing. But he says, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is his will, folks? We're a chosen generation, a chosen people. We are to go forth and let our light shine before this old dark world that we live in. We're to go forth whenever everybody else is filled with fear. Everybody else is filled with doubt. Everybody else is wondering this and wondering that. We are to go forth conquering in our hearts without fear, without doubt, and we are to go forth trusting the Lord, submitting everything into his hands. Yes. Present yourselves, your body, he said, a living sacrifice before the Lord. You know, in another place in the book of Romans, as a matter of fact, it's the 13th chapter and the 14th verse, Paul said another thing. He tells us to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Don't make provisions for the flesh, because that'll lead to sin, won't it? It'll lead to destruction ultimately. He said, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, but present your bodies, present yourself and be transformed. Get a renewing of the mind. Get a renewed purpose in life and a renewed desire. A lot has to do with desire. How much desire do we have this morning? A lot has to do with desire, folks. The Lord says we are his substance. We're his substance. He paid a great price for what you and I are enjoying today. He paid a great price for these blessings. We are his substance and we are in his service. We're here to serve him. We're here to glorify him. We're here to honor him. And we're here to offer up intercessory prayers for others. How many in here today don't have a loved one how many in here this morning has loved ones that are not saved? How many in here has family that they're burdened for? People that they care about? Folks, I've closed my eyes. You probably have too. I've wakened in the middle of the night and I've laid there and I've had to close my eyes and think about the souls that are going out into eternity unprepared to meet God. And what that is really going to mean. I've had people tell me recently, I just hope I don't live much longer. I hope this and I hope that. Folks, we don't really understand what eternity means when we say things like that and we're not a child of God. This thing's serious. To me it is. And this thing is real. We got to get things right while we're here. And do everything that we know to do in accepting these blessings and these privileges that God has made for you and I, given for you and I. So look at another scripture, the responsibility that we have. Haven't used it for a while, so maybe I can use it today. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you know what that is? He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Folks, you can't get to heaven without charity. You can't serve God without love. You can't do it. You cannot not have love if He's in your heart. If He's in your heart, you're going to have love. And He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, though you may be a silver tongue speaker, you may just be a great speaker, and have not charity, you become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, it'd be good if we had those things, wouldn't it? It'd be good if we had those things. So that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Sometimes I wonder here when he's writing this, when I read this, that how you can do all those things and not have it. How you can do them in the first place. And then he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Some of you probably have not read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's quite a book. I read it all the way through. It wasn't maybe some of the most pleasant reading that I've ever read, but folks, I read about people that were willing to give all to follow the Lord. Willing to go to the stake to follow the Lord. You know, I've mentioned this fellow some many years passed, but in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, there's several of them in there that is very impressive. But this man really got a hold of me when I read about Bishop Cranmer. You know who Bishop Cranmer was? He was a bishop in the Catholic Church back in the 16th century, the 1500s. He was a bishop, and God came along. See, God knows our hearts. Folks, we have some privileges in Christ if we'll humble ourselves and accept His way. Accept His way. God came along and He began to deal with Bishop Cranmer. And He told him, He said, this business of transubstantiation is not right. This doctrine is false. You're teaching my people false things, and I want you to drop it. I want you to lay it down. And the Lord really dealt with Bishop Cranmer over that. And probably other things too, but the book pointed that out. And it said Bishop Cranmer came to the point where he was so convicted that he wrote a letter to the Pope, to the Catholic Church, and said that he could now no more teach that doctrine of transubstantiation. And they sent him a letter back. And they said, we're going to give you another chance to recant. Because that's the teaching that the Catholic Church teaches. So he prayed about it and he thought about it and the enemy got involved in it. And he recanted. And he began to teach transubstantiation. And the merciful God that I'm talking about this morning came along again. And he convicted him, this is wrong and you're teaching people false things. And it said that it got a hold of his heart. He got down before God and he confessed and he asked forgiveness. And he says, I cannot and I will not teach this because it's not Bible. It's a false doctrine. And he told him back there again. He says, I can't do it. I won't do it. They said, all right. And they put him to the stake. Put him to the stake. Tied him to the stake. And the thing that impressed me is this man, as he was standing there and the flames started coming up, it said, around his legs, it said he took the hand that he had signed where he had recanted and started teaching that doctrine again. He said he took his hand and he put it down in the flames. And the witnesses said they could see flesh dripping off into the fire. They could see the fluids coming out of his hand and his fingers and dripping off into the fire. And that man stood there Folks, and he went out into eternity and met his God. But he went out there with conviction on his heart, with an understanding of what God was requiring of him. And I believe that this man, though he was willing to be burned, I believe he loved God so much that he was willing to oppose the church, that false church. He was willing to oppose it, and he was willing to stand for God and go to the fire. That was so impressive to me. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. Folks, the charity must be the foundation of every motive that we have. Yeah. Bible says all things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. Folks, he knows our motives. He knows our thoughts. He knows why we're doing what we're doing. He knows if it's trying to coerce someone, it's trying to misguide someone, misleads. He knows all those things. Charity is the foundation of our motives. Jesus said, you got to love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Putting Christ, folks, on display should be our heart's greatest desire. Putting Christ on display. See, this all springs from you, the privileges that you and I have. The calling. Folks, it's a high calling. The calling means there must be a change. There must be active working in our hearts and in our lives every day to do the will of God in our life. Faithfulness to God, folks, comes from a heart full of love and faith, to trust him in all things. But let me remind us this morning, faithfulness sometimes is not faithfulness. God's requiring faithfulness every day. Faithfulness every day, in every test, in every trial. That's strong. That's strong because we face some hard things. And this old flesh will recoil at the cross. I understand that. This flesh will recoil at the cross. But folks, we must be faithful. We must have a love so deep and so great for God that we'll be faithful in everything. It says Moses in the third chapter of Hebrews, he said Moses was faithful in all of his house. He was faithful in all of his house, but he talked about one that was even more faithful. He built the house. That was Jesus Christ. Jesus was faithful, folks. Our perfect example, faithful all the way. Lord, help us to go all the way. I know Peter, I was reading there in the 13th chapter of John where Peter, the Lord said he must go, and Peter says, I want to go with you, basically. And the Lord said, you're not ready. He said, well, I'll go with you unto death. And he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. The Lord knows you this morning. He knows me. He knows our motives. He knows our hearts. Folks, there's a great price to be a child of God. It's the highest calling that I know. It's the highest calling in the world because of all the blessings and all the privileges that come with being a child of God. It requires you and I of being faithful. Faithful in our business. Faithful with husbands and wives. Faithful in our home. Faithful with our children. Faithful on our jobs. Folks, it requires faithfulness from each and every one of us. So let's look at a scripture in Hebrews, 4th chapter. Hebrews 4, pretty familiar. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Not being mixed with faith. There are so many souls that have walked away from God's truth because they didn't believe. They didn't believe it. For one reason or another, they refused to believe the truth of God's word. And he said, the gospel was preached unto us as well as it was unto them. But the word that preached unto them didn't profit them because they didn't have faith to believe it. It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. Lord, help us today, folks, to have godly fear. This word that we preach out of, that we teach out of, that we read at home daily, must have a lasting effect on our life. A lasting effect. We don't do it because somebody's making us. We don't do it because somebody's looking over our shoulder and watching us. We don't do it because someone says, I'm going to give you one more chance to get it right. We do it because we love Him. We do it because we understand we are a chosen generation, folks, a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation unto God. It doesn't get any higher than that. The calling doesn't get any greater than that, folks. It doesn't get any greater than that. We must have a lasting effect in our life with the Word of God upon our hearts. As our trials increase, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, but your trials are increasing. As our trials increase and the battle becomes more intense, we can get pretty tired and weary. You know, the scripture says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Folks, the battles are going to increase. The trials are going to increase. We're facing some things today. We're facing opposition. Can't seem to get it out of my mind this morning. Remember when we was talking here a few Sundays back about Ahab and how that he was leading the children of Israel and God sent the man of God to him. And Elijah went there and he called Elijah the trouble. You're a troubler of Israel. See, that's what people are going to do with us now. You stand true. You hold fast to the faith. You don't move from where you are. Let's be unmovable, steadfast, unmovable, the scripture says. And stay where you are planted. Stay with the truth. Let your faith increase in the Word of God. And people are going to look at you and tell you, you're the problem. Folks, you stand true to God and He'll stand true to you. He'll stand true and faithful to each and every one of us. I believe it's important this morning to have guardrails put in place. Guardrails. You go down the highway, you go around some sharp curb someplace, they got guardrails there. If you want to, you can force the car through there, it'll probably go over it. But the guardrails to help you to see and understand that there's danger here. And you need to go around. Keep your car on the road. We need to have guardrails, folks. God is our protector. And we need to have things in place that when the body gets weary and we get tired and the enemy comes in like a flood and wants to overcome us, wants to drag us down, wants to bring doubt, wants to bring fears. Isn't that what he does? Sure, it's what he does. His goal, you know what the devil's goal is? To leave you defenseless. He wants to leave us defenseless. So that's why Paul's hell tells us, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in these days. The devil wants to leave you defenseless. Oh, he'll go about it so many different kind of ways. He might come along and say, you know, you're not making any spiritual progress. Why don't you just give up? I've had that happen in years past. I've had him come along with that one. It's a lie, isn't it? Then he might come along and say, you know, you're just too weak for spiritual warfare. You just don't know how to fight. Well, learn how to fight. Get in the Word. Get on your knees. Get before God. Folks, we're privileged. We don't have to give in any way, shape, or form to the enemy of our souls. He's a defeated foe and he knows it. Jesus said, Satan has nothing in me. Thank the Lord Jesus overcame and conquered for you and I. The devil will come along when you're at your lowest point. We have low points. We're not always high up on the mountain. Where sometimes we struggle a little bit in spiritual ways. Sometimes we do. And the devil will come along and say, well, you've grieved God over here. You grieved God away. God's left you. Now you're all on your own. That's not the way God deals with man. That's not the way he deals with his people. We're a holy people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation. Hold on to those things. Be encouraged to know this morning that we are in his hands and he is in control. I know my Aunt Armilla used to sing a song, "The Old Ship of Zion." We may be on the old ship of Zion, but he's at the helm, folks. And he's the one that's guiding her and he's leading her along. And I'm so thankful for that. Folks, God's only going to leave you. God's only going to separate from you if you've sinned. If you sin. Sin is what separates us from God, isn't it? We've been chosen. Don't let the devil take that away from you. We've been chosen. We need a deep-seated love. Guardrails. We need a deep-seated love for holiness today. Because holiness is a foreign word in this world. It's a foreign word. But it says in Obadiah, the 17th verse, it says, upon Mount Zion, there shall be holiness. And the house and my people shall possess it. My people, I don't know why I can't get it. I know that verse very well. But we will possess our possessions on Mount Zion. Our possessions is the things that we are privileged that have been given to us by God. No one else but by God. It's the only way we're going to get it is but by God. Let's look at another scripture. Feeling kind of weary here, so I want to try to get as much of this as the Lord would have us. I want to turn over to Matthew right at the beginning of the Lord's teaching in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Just one verse here in the Beatitudes. It says in verse 6, this is so important to me. To me, I believe this is the answer for a lot of people's problems. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is telling us here plainly what we should seek after. Remember that other place where he talks about the ravens and he talks about the animals and the things that need this, and he supplies their needs? He tells us not to worry about tomorrow, what we're going to put on, what we're going to eat, because he supplies our needs. Didn't David of old put in, someone wrote in the psalmist, I once was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I think sometimes we find ourselves worrying about things that we don't need to worry about. We shouldn't be worrying anyway. We should be trusting. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. I believe that there's a lot of folks today that aren't really hungry. They're not really thirsty. I remember when we were raising our children, sometimes my wife would fix a meal that she knew I liked. And when the children were younger, they didn't all like that kind of food. Brussels sprouts. Oh, they hated Brussels sprouts. They wanted something else. Can you fix me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No. You're going to eat what we eat. You know, I don't want to eat that. And she says, when you get hungry enough, you'll eat it. That's what I tell my grandchildren now today. They are so picky. They've gotten by so many times. Oh, I don't want that. And mommy go out and fix them something else. Folks, that's not the way to raise children. That's not the way to draw close to the Lord. That's not the way to be faithful. That's not the way to walk worthy of the privilege that you and I have as a child of God, is to go around being picky of the kind of food that we want to eat. Whatever God sends forth, Lord, help us to get the grace that we need to measure right up to where God wants us to be. Why would I determine in my mind that I'm not going to do that, or I'm not going to accept that and take a chance of missing heaven? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. They that hunger, if you're hungry enough and thirsty enough, after righteousness, Jesus said, they shall be filled. You will be filled if you're hungry enough. If you're seeking the Lord enough. If you're in the place where He can talk to you and deal with you and work with you. Actually, it really comes to you and I. We must recognize the depths of our needs. We need to recognize it. There's a lot of things, and I've said this before, there's a lot of things that God can do for you and I. But there are some things, when it comes to our souls, that God is going to let you come to the place where you have to visibly see what your need is, and your will has to act on that for you to get the help that you need. Your will has to act on it. God's just not going to give you everything, folks, until you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. I believe that a deep desire of spiritual, personal righteousness, it tells the world something. It tells us of our calling. They may not see us as a chosen generation. They may not see us as such a high, mighty person. And we are not high and mighty anyway. It's like the old fellow that I heard, he had a lot of money and his children knew that mom and dad was kind of rich, and one day he was taking his daughter to school, and she says, I want you to let me out two blocks from the school. He says, why would I do that? Why wouldn't I take you right on up to the school? She says, well, she said, my friends think that we're rich, and I don't want them to know what kind of car you're driving. And he said, well, I can set that straight right now. You're not rich. Your mom and I are, but you're not. Richness comes from God, folks. It comes from God. It's something special. It's something that desire is there, that I have that connection, that richness of His Spirit and of His blessings and of His glory and His joy in my heart and in my life and of His peace. It comes from God. He said, I can straighten that out for you. You're not rich. You tell them you're not rich. Your mom and dad is. Folks, we gotta have daddy. We gotta be connected to Christ, don't we? If we wanna be rich in the blessings that God has for us, we are connected to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Seek the things that only God can give you. Not favor of man. Not the things of this world. But the things that God can give you. I want to turn over to Ephesians. It's probably going to be my last scripture, as far as I know. Ephesians. That's not right. Let's try Colossians, 3rd chapter. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. He says, where do I want to begin reading? 12th verse. Put on, therefore. Okay, we're God's people. We're chosen. We have a high calling. Paul's exhorting us here to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Folks, there shouldn't be any kind of backlash among our people of someone that doesn't show bowels of mercy and someone that doesn't show kindness and consideration and concern for others. There shouldn't be any backlash on that. He said here in verse 12, bowels of mercies and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. I believe that these few verses here is Paul's recipe for victory. And I do want victory in my life. I believe that these things are a good recipe for victory in my soul. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. You ever think you were better than somebody else? You could do that better than someone else. I think of the old time preachers. They used to tell us, I remember Brother, I believe it was Brother Hargrave, it might have been Brother Chandler, says if you don't like the pastor or the preacher that you have, pray for him. God will give you a new one. In other words, if you pray for him, God will deal with him, and he'll make them someone that you will like or can accept. Pray for him. Pray for one another. We all want to be successful. I want to see everyone be successful in their walk with the Lord. Forbearing one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And this is the verse that I really want to dwell with a little bit. And let the peace of God, let means to allow, doesn't it? You know, that's so easy. I've done it many times. Just read over it, peace. Okay, we know what peace is. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Paul's telling us here, dress yourself. Dress yourself with these graces here that he's telling us about. Put them on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the bowels of mercies and kindness. Put these things on. And he says, as you do that, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You can't have peace. Have you ever had your peace troubled? You can't have peace, folks, without having heartfelt compassion for others. If you know you've hurt someone, if you know you've offended someone, it kind of disturbs your peace, doesn't it? I say this morning, in all of my weakness and my humanity, Lord, help me to overlook the flaws and deficiencies and the weaknesses of others, and put more focus and more work on me. You want to see the church flourish? You want to see the church grow? That's the way to do it. Don't go looking at somebody else and looking for their flaws, looking for their deficiencies. You look, you're going to find something. You look at yourself, you're going to find something too. I want to look at myself. I want to look at myself. We're all, every one of us, are in the development stage of life. We're all in the development stage. I trust and pray that your desire this time next year will be that you'll be higher up the ladder than you are this year. That you'll have more graces, more understanding. Folks, Paul's telling us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. Walk worthy of those things, folks. We're a chosen generation. We're God's people. That gives us favor with God, doesn't it? But he said here, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God judge in your life. Let the peace of God decide, make decisions in your life. Let the peace of God govern your life. Do you know, you may not have thought of this, no heart is right with God where the peace of Christ doesn't rule. If the peace of God is not ruling, your heart's not right. There's something wrong, isn't there? The peace of Christ is a decisive proof that the heart is right with God. If you've got peace, folks, your heart's right. If you've got true peace, if you can actually sit down and get alone, and as the scripture said, examine yourself, and you don't find anything that would separate you from God, folks, you can have true peace in your soul. When a man loses his peace, it's a proof that he's lost something else. He's lost something else. So let that be a challenge to us. If you lose your peace, you've lost something else. You know, if you lose your cool, you lost your temper. Keep your peace. Let the peace of God rule. Rule in your heart. But he went on to say in the next verse, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh Lord, help us today. The word means so much to me. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There must be harmony and agreement that is created by God among His chosen people. Peace must rule, folks. And when peace is reigning among God's people, then the church is fertile soil for the blessings that are produced by the Word of God. When peace is reigning, the heart is fertile soil, and the church, therefore, is fertile soil for the blessings that is produced by the Word of God. I think part of the problem today is there's not enough hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. Not enough hungering and thirsting after Christ. Lord, help me to have a greater desire to hunger and thirst. Help me to be willing to accept and receive whatever it is you're trying to get to me. Whatever it is you're trying to teach me. Don't ever come to church with a pitchfork. You come to church with a shovel. You shovel it all in for yourself. Don't try to throw it off somebody else. The Word of God is for each and every one of us, and it will make us an approved vessel unto God, chosen, a chosen people. He chose us. He came along looking down for me. He reached down His hand for me, folks. He found me down there, as Brother Carl likes to say, in the molly grubs of sin. Just in a bad way, in a bad shape. And changed all that, took all that, and changed my life. Now He says, I'm His child. I'm a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Unto Him that has given me eternal life. I thank the Lord for the word, for the privilege that we have in Christ this morning. And I pray that every one of us will always realize the depths and the meaning of what it truly means to be a child of God. Pray for me.